ignition sequence start.
Oh, see, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three, hit it!
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul touching up it!
On Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win, a three, he got it!
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can find me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. You can also find our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And hey, if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, please do me a favor. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, Stitcher, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you could please subscribe, leave us a review if you've got the time, drop some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. And most importantly, share the podcast on Facebook, on Twitter, on your own personal Instagram. If you want to go on there and say, hey, go listen to Locked On Rockets, I would really appreciate it. That would mean a lot to me. Today's episode, we've got a little bit of, we'll call it podcast nepotism in a way, because I've got my good friend Chris McGeehee here with me. And now, Chris, are you technically a media professional? Can we call you a media professional?
I mean, it would be nice. We don't have to, but, it would make me sound a little bit better for the listeners.
Okay, so we're going to call you a media professional. Give us a little bit of your media background, Chris, just for the listeners, before I get back into why this is a bit of nepotism.
All right. Graduated from the UH Valenti School of Communication. Go Cougs. Did some work for the Houston Chronicle. Did some work for GoCougs.com covering U of H sports. I've covered a little bit of Rockets, a little bit of the Harlem Globetrotters, just wherever I was needed, that's where you can find me.
Okay. And where, as far as social media, where can we find you there?
You can find me on Twitter at Chris MCG Media. And I would prefer for you not to find me on Facebook.
Okay, hey, there we go. All right, don't find him on Facebook. That's fine. I know some of you guys have found me on Facebook, which is kind of weird. I've gotten a few of you guys, a lot of Twitter followers, and like two or three of you guys have added me on Facebook and on Instagram, which, hey, I'm cool with. All my social media platforms are open. Twitter's the main one that I use for Rockets content. But hey, whatever happens, you guys can follow me on any of my platforms. That's totally cool with me. So the reason this is a bit of just podcast nepotism is Chris and I were watching the All-Star game together. Now, we didn't get a chance to watch the Friday night or Saturday night events together, but we made plans, we hung out, we watched the All-Star game, and we were honestly pretty blown away by what we saw, right?
Absolutely. I think you have to say that this is probably the best All-Star weekend in recent memory, but specifically tonight's game, or last night's game, whenever you guys are listening to this. Sunday night's All-Star game was the best one that I can remember in quite a while.
The intensity in that fourth quarter, I mean, we were watching it in my apartment and we were standing up for a lot of it, just cheering, really into the game. And I honestly can't remember the last time it felt like I had a vested interest. Now, I did call for Team LeBron to win the game. So I am 2-3 on my calls for All-Star Weekend. I called Team USA to win. I called Team LeBron to win. And then I whiffed on all three of my Saturday night picks for the skills challenge, for the three-point shootout, and for the dunk contest. Unfortunately, because Aaron Gordon was robbed, and we'll get more on that in the second segment. But just the impressions from this game, honestly, Chris, was there a play that really stood out to you, or a moment in the game?
Not necessarily a single play or a single moment, but it's like you mentioned just a minute ago, just the intensity of that fourth quarter. We had it in, and I don't want to sound cliche here, but this is the kind of intensity that Kobe himself used to bring to the All-Star game. And that's what we got from almost everybody in this game tonight. And I think a lot of it had to do with the predestined total number of points that needed to be scored. It really gave everybody an incentive to really try to get there. And we saw bodies flying, we saw pushing and shoving, we saw refs being worked, and honestly, it made for a great game, or a great fourth quarter.
And honestly, the part that, and this is what I really love about when you get all these alpha dog type mentalities together is nobody was shying away from the big moment. I mean, and you had different guys trying to stand out in their different ways, which, and I, you know, I might rub some people the wrong way saying this, and obviously he rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, but even Kyle Lowry, of all people, was doing what he does best out there, trying to draw charges on multiple occasions in the damn All-Star game. Like, he's out there sacrificing his body to the, you know, freight train that is LeBron James in transition, going full speed, you know, giving up his body on the All-Star game court. This game was really, it was the exclamation point on what was a really phenomenal All-Star weekend when all things are considered. Now, obviously, we had the, you know, the dunk contest, which, you know, I have some feelings towards Aaron Gordon not winning. I'm sure you do too, as well, right?
Absolutely.
We're in agreement there. We've also got the revamped three-point contest, the skills challenge with basically all bigs who, you know, proceeded to knock out all the smaller players in just the first round. So we'll get more on that in just a quick second. We got to hit this first break, but we'll be right back here in just a moment. So you guys don't turn us off. Don't go anywhere. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. I'm here with my good friend Chris McGehee. And Chris, okay, so we'll jump into Friday night, the Rising Stars game first. We'll knock out Friday night, we'll knock out the Saturday night contests, and then we'll dive back into the All-Star game from Sunday night in the final segment. So just as far as that Rising Stars game goes, you know, I picked Team USA to win. I just looked at the talent on that team, and we were even talking about it earlier, the alley-oop from Ja Morant to Zion Williamson that was just so insane. Two athletic freaks of nature. Just how did you enjoy that game, first off?
You know, I did. I enjoyed it overall. I love that play. Obviously, being a Pelicans fan, I'm a little biased, but just watching Ja to Zion in that moment was just something out of a dream. But, you know, this All-Star weekend, as we've stated, was great. I think the one thing for Friday night's festivities that I did not particularly enjoy was the very end of the Rising Stars game when it turned into a glorified dunk contest, which, don't get me wrong, that's not the part that I didn't enjoy. What I did not enjoy was seeing Zion, who had just played the night before in a competitive game against the Thunder. You could tell he was gassed. He's being hyped up to attempt these dunks, and they just weren't falling for him. The athleticism was there, but you could tell he was gassed, and that took away from it a little bit for me. I would have loved to have seen him in this game on 2 to 3 days rest, hitting those dunks at the end of the game instead of, you know, on a back-to-back type of night.
That makes some sense. And I mean, obviously, you know, in a weekend like this, and, you know, there's obviously concerns about, you know, exerting yourself a little bit too much, you know, going, you know, a little bit too hard in these games that really, you know, in the grand scheme of things, they're bragging rights. They don't mean anything. They're not contributing towards a championship. Yes, they're individual accolades to be able to say, you know, at the end of your career, oh yeah, I won the dunk contest, or, you know, I was the All-Star Game MVP, or the, you know, the Kobe Bryant MVP award, you know, as it's now being called. And so I get that, and I get the concern there. You know, another standout moment, though, from the game was the actual, and it's kind of great because it comes full circle, was going into the half, right? You know, Trey,
absolutely,
you know, goes to Luka and says, don't dribble up the court, you know, pull up from there. And he does. And Luka pulls up in the Rising Stars game, drills the three-pointer from the half court line. And then Trey Young does the same thing in the All-Star game Sunday evening. So that was kind of a nice everything comes full circle moment between those two guys, which, honestly, that's going to be... Just thinking about the future of the NBA and kind of where we're going with this next crop of players, Luka, Trae Young, Zion, Brandon Ingram, Lonzo, you know, I'm naming off a lot of Pelicans right now, but the Pelicans have a really young, exciting roster.
You know, just a couple of years ago...
I teed you up. You better knock this out of the park.
You know, I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best for you, okay? But a couple of years ago, I was not this sold on the next generation of NBA stars. Yeah, I mean, you know, Ingram gets drafted to the Lakers, but obviously he wasn't doing there what he's doing with the Pelicans. And you just kind of looked around the league and you were really wondering what's next after LeBron and Chris Paul and guys of that nature. And then just in the last couple of years, we've seen Giannis really come into his own. We've seen teams like the Grizzlies with Ja and Triple J become a lot more exciting. The Pelicans obviously are attempting to get back into the playoffs this year with a core built around Ingram and Zion and Drew Holiday. We have Trae Young in Atlanta. We have Luka Doncic. I just think that the next several years of the NBA are now in a much better place than what we could have said 3 years ago.
I agree with all of that, honestly. But here's the thing, and here's the kind of follow-up from that. LeBron has carried the torch of the NBA for much of his entire career. I think there was a period of time, kind of a limbo a little bit, where it was, you could maybe argue, Kobe would be the best, you know, example.
Kobe up until about 08-09.
I think that's fair.
And then it firmly became LeBron's after that, I think.
So who carries the torch after LeBron?
I think right now the answer is pretty clearly Giannis, I believe. And that magnifies if he goes to a bigger market. I'm not necessarily advocating for it, but if he leaves Milwaukee and just, for instance, goes to the Knicks, now all of a sudden you have a player like Giannis in a big market like New York City, that is absolutely going to be the face of the NBA for the foreseeable future, because you can already see all of the attention that he's getting while playing in one of the smallest markets in the league.
It speaks a lot to what he's able to do, the dominance that he's shown as a Milwaukee Buck. And honestly, I don't want to see him leave the Bucks. I want to see these small market teams be able to retain their players and be able to build up, you know. And it's cool that he, you know, if he's able to be a lifelong Buck, and, you know, maybe at one point, you know, down the line after the Rockets have already secured a championship with James Harden and Russell Westbrook, you know, win a chip or two for the city of Milwaukee, that'd be incredible. But, you know, we're, you know, going on this frothing tangent. You know, we completely ran away from the topic at hand, but you got a point. What do you want to make?
I do. I have, you know, let me get this in just real quick and we'll jump back to All-Star Weekend, since that's what we're here for. Despite the fact that I think Giannis is going to be the face of the NBA, I think that the league is a little bit more fun when there's not necessarily a face. I think I enjoy it more when it's a collection of guys, when you have all of these talented players fighting for the right to be called the guy. That to me is more fun than having a guy.
I can see that. You know, and I, but when was the last, you know what? You know, we'll save this for another day.
We will save it for an off-season pod?
Yeah, off-season pod.
That works. That works for me.
That's some good content right there. All right, well, we will revisit that discussion further down the line. But as it stands, going back to the topic at hand, All-Star Weekend. So we have the three skills, well, the skills challenge, the three-point shootout, and the dunk contest from Saturday night. So skills challenge is the one that people probably care the least about, and it's the first one for a reason. But it was kind of exciting to see all the bigs really, you know, show up the guards in that competition, right?
Absolutely. And they did so well that I picked every single first-round matchup wrong, as well as both of the second-round matchups.
Incredible.
Only one that I got right was the finals.
So did you get any picks right for All-Star Weekend? Did you make picks, like, mentally? Be honest now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, like yourself, I called Team USA. I also, this was one of those, I think Team LeBron's going to win, but I'm pulling for Team Giannis, so technically it still counts as a victory.
Okay, all right,
but
fair.
Everything on Saturday night, I got completely wrong.
Who were your picks, just out of curiosity? Because, again, I picked SGA, I picked Trae Young, and I picked, who did I have in the, oh, and Aaron Gordon.
So I also picked SGA, wanted to see my guy do it. I picked Aaron Gordon for the dunk contest as well. The only difference that we had on Saturday night was I had picked Devin Booker.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be his time to shine, and it very nearly was.
It came down to the wire.
As the last shot. You cannot get any closer than that.
You can't. It seriously was. You know, Buddy Hield just barely made it with that last shot that he hit. Now, so what do you think about the additions of the Dew Zone, or the Mountain Dew Zone three balls?
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed it. It added a new element to something that felt, at least to me personally, a little stale. Don't get me wrong, the competition itself is always fantastic, but the format felt a little stale. Adding the Mountain Dew zone, the Mountain Dew ball, I think it really, you know, these guys like to shoot from that distance in games now anyways. Why not let them do it from the, you know, the three-point contest as well?
That was part of the reason that I picked Trey, because I was like, who besides like Steph pulls up for, you know, comfortably from like 4 to 5 feet from behind the arc on a consistent basis? And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Trey. And he completely bust me, just let me down right out of the gate. You know, as soon as he started breaking those threes, I was like, this is skills challenge. Although it's skills challenge part two. Yep. You know, it's SGA missing the pass 3 times in a row in the skills challenge. This is great. But overall, I agree. I think it's the NBA needs to receive credit where credit is due. They are the league out of the three major leagues that we care about here, you know, in the United States. You know, you got MLB, NFL, NBA, right? The three big dogs.
Absolutely.
The NBA does the best job of just being creative with its players, you know, putting out, you know, exciting new fun things, you know, really. And they drive like almost a year-round content calendar now, with, you know, the offseason being almost at times more interesting than the regular season can be. You know, extending the preseason a little bit. They take care of their players. They're trying to, you know, actively work to shorten the, or not shorten the schedule, but to have a better, more cohesive schedule to make it better on players' bodies so that they're not, you know, dealing with any physical issues throughout the season, all kinds of things like that. So I think the NBA deserves a lot of credit for coming up with these ideas and making these changes to All-Star Weekend to keep it fresh and to keep it interesting.
It's the willingness to experiment. Not everything is going to work, but how are you going to figure out what does and doesn't work other than by testing it out, giving it a shot?
Absolutely. And, you know.
You know, there were a lot of jokes made about the All-Star game, and yet based off of social media reactions, it seems to be almost a universal success. And how are you going to figure that out if you don't at least give it a shot?
They gave it a shot. And speaking of giving it a shot, a guy who gave something a shot and should have won based off of it, Aaron Gordon dunking over 7'5" Taco Fall did not win him the dunk contest. Are you kidding me? Reactions, Chris.
Dwayne Wade is a coward.
The whole, like, you could see it, right? You could see, like, the record scratch freeze frame moment when it was, what, Common and Candace Parker, who, like, both also dropped 9s.
Yes.
And looked over at D Wade, like, what the hell, man? You were supposed to vote a 10 so that it could end on a tie, which is frustrating in and of itself.
That's the real issue right there. And we talked about this earlier. It's not so much that Dwayne Wade allegedly, intentionally gave the win to his guy, Derrick Jones Jr. The issue was more that these judges had previously agreed, allegedly, even before Aaron Gordon's dunk attempt, that they were just going to tie it up, send it to another dunk. That right there, you know, we almost had a perfect All-Star weekend, and the ending of that dunk contest was one of two things that I really didn't like about this All-Star weekend.
I agree with you 100% there. And, you know, this is not for the NBA, you know, a company who is a multi-billion dollar business who's so concerned with ratings. This is not what you want. You don't want one of the best active young dunkers in the game who immediately thereafter said, yeah, I think I'm done. Like, I'm not coming back again. You don't want to alienate one of the best dunkers from the dunk contest because he feels like he's getting gypped. Derrick Jones Jr. had some great dunks. I'll give him credit. But he could have easily not won this year and still not been, you know, as put off as Aaron Gordon was. You give Aaron Gordon this trophy almost as a consolation for him not getting it in previous years, and then you bring back Derrick Jones Jr. next year, and maybe Aaron Gordon comes back to defend his title.
Yep. And this is to take nothing away from Derrick Jones Jr. because he had a spectacular contest.
I would have been happy with co-winners, honestly.
Absolutely. I would have been happy with that as well. But to outright deny Aaron Gordon that win, the ramifications for that go beyond just Aaron Gordon saying he's done. Ja Morant, who is one of the more exciting players in the league already, has already come out to say that he won't be participating in any sort of dunk contest because of the way that this one was handled. And if you're the NBA, you don't necessarily have to do damage control, but if you have players, LeBron's never been in a dunk contest, players like Ja don't want to be in a dunk contest, Aaron Gordon has decided he's done with dunk contest, at some point that's going to need a refresher as well, and I think it starts with the scoring system.
They need more competent judges, and I think that's, you're right. That's where you got to start. You got to start with the scoring system, kind of revamp that a little bit, maybe get some legitimate judges instead of just, you know, former players or this kind of mystery. Like, I don't know. I don't know what could be done. Make it a fan vote. Maybe do one of those, you know, American Idol, everybody like call in, text in for your favorite dunk.
At least make it a portion of the voting.
Something.
Have it weigh in comparison to the judges.
Definitely. Something that now, all right, really quickly before we wrap up this segment, favorite dunk on the night, go.
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot like that.
I know I told you I wouldn't put you on the spot, but like, I feel like this one's kind of an easier one. Like, I mean,
honestly, I think it's got to be the Aaron Gordon off the side of the backboard.
The windmill.
Yes.
That's got to be one of the best dunks that I've seen in recent history.
Absolutely. The Taco Fall one, obviously, it wasn't a perfect dunk, but they both said afterwards, that wasn't planned ahead of time.
No,
that
impromptu, was on the spot. Yep.
On the spot, I'm going to jump over this 7'5" fella. And for everybody who wants to point out, oh, he didn't clear it, you tried.
That's a 6'8" man jumping over a 7'5" man. And yeah, he successfully did. I don't care if he bumped his head a little bit on the jump. No, that is a 6'8" human being jumping over a 7'5" behemoth of a human being.
Most of the people arguing the semantics of that dunk attempt probably couldn't touch the net, but here we are.
Here we are indeed. All right, well, and then honorable mention to Pat Connaughton, the Billy Hoyle white men can't jump dunk. There was a lot of flavor behind that one, and I'm a big fan of the theatrics behind it. I like theatrics in the dunk contest. The rest of his dunks were so-so, but like him walking out with the whole white men can't jump outfit,
absolutely,
that had a lot of swag behind it.
Hey, real quick, what's the opposite of an honorable mention?
A dishonorable mention?
Okay, dishonorable mention goes to Dame Dalla for me. That was the second thing on my list of All-Star Weekend that, you know, I gave him a chance. I went in there open-minded. You know I'm a fan of rap music, right? I sat down. I made my wife be quiet for a couple of minutes so that I could hear this performance. Wholly disappointed.
Close runner-up, Chaka Khan.
Oh.
National anthem? All right.
Well, 1A, 1B.
All right. We'll hit this break really quick and get to our final segment in just one moment. So we'll be right back. And we are back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Talking right now, though, about NBA All-Star Weekend. Now, from a bit of a Rockets angle going into this final segment, it was, look, and I even tweeted this out, it was kind of bittersweet to see James Harden and Chris Paul share the court again. Just, you know, a painful sting, a reminder of, you know, what was once here in Houston for 2 years. Now, I know this is a different Chris Paul. It's now also a different James Harden, and we are still very lucky to have Russell Westbrook doing what he's doing in a Houston Rockets jersey. But nonetheless, there was still that moment to close out the game where
you got a little nostalgic, didn't you?
I did. They opted to leave. You know what? I will say it. I do miss my point guard being able to hit three-pointers. I said that during the game. After Chris Paul hit his third or fourth three, I was like, man, I miss having a point guard who could shoot threes. But at the same time, I will posit that this was the best thing that could have happened for Chris Paul and for Russell Westbrook. I think that it had the two stayed in their respective teams and gone into the season as it was, I don't think either team would be as successful as they are right now. The Rockets are still figuring things out with Westbrook going, you know, all in with the small ball and whatnot. And then the Thunder, you know, thought they were going into a full rebuild by auctioning off Russell Westbrook and Paul George for the highest bidders. And that didn't happen.
That's, you know, because they forgot that they traded for the point guard.
They did, and they also got SGA back, who's had a phenomenal year, so, and then failed me in the skills competition. Anyways, I'm not salty about that at all. Anyways, this All-Star game, the way that it really, that fourth quarter, now one, I want to go back, and I'm sure somebody, some math whiz somewhere, or somebody who keeps, you know, better track of stats than I do, has come up with the actual time that that fourth quarter took, but it felt like it took a lot longer than a regular quarter. And a lot of that was because of the amped up defense. So here's the thing, is what needs to happen to make the All-Star game that interesting for the entire game? Because you saw it kind of rev up in the second quarter. Team Giannis took it as a personal slight, maybe, that they were down so big, you know, after one. Team Giannis comes out, they kick ass in the second quarter, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They, like you said, they end the first quarter being down. They come out second quarter, and they decide to turn it on and go into the break up. And to answer your initial question, how can we make this game this intense for all four quarters? I think the simplest answer and the first one that I have for you is no matter what you do, even if you can fix quarters two and three, I don't think there's any way you're ever going to be able to fix the first quarter. Everybody is always going to come out, use the first quarter as at least a warm-up, kind of feeling each other out, see whose shots are falling. It's just, I don't think there's any way that you're going to get a full 48-ish minutes of intensity. I say 48-ish since obviously the fourth quarter.
Because we don't know how long the fourth quarter takes. Yeah.
But honestly, if we can get half of that game as intense as the fourth quarter, I'll settle for that compared to what it's been for the last several years.
I think that's fair because, again, in previous years, some years it was laughable, right? I feel like in the mid-2010s, it was really bad to the point where, there was zero defense being played. And
a lot of people just didn't want to watch.
No, so yeah.
It got to the point where we don't want to see uncontested layups for 48 minutes because I can do that outside myself.
Right? There's a hoop in the cul-de-sac. Like, let's go out and we can do it. No, but, when you get these, world-class athletes together, you expect to see great, intense basketball being played. And that's exactly what happened down the stretch. And we talked about this part, too, a little bit, is it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we have to lament the loss of the great Kobe Bryant.
Absolutely.
And the decision, the way that this game was structured, the scoring decision for that final quarter was you would take the cumulative value of the point totals for both teams, and then you would add 24 to the team with the highest point total, and then that would be the target score, which in this game, the target score was 157 points.
Yep.
So taking that number, though, I think that was probably a last-minute change given, the circumstances behind
the tragedy
behind what happened with Kobe. And so it'll be interesting to see, given how they renamed the award to the Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP Award, it'll be interesting to see if they decide to keep that 24 as the number moving forward. Do we think that's where they're going with this? Because I kind of have my money on that, but I don't know what your thoughts are.
Honestly, I think it's 50-50. I think over the next couple of years, at some point, you might see a slight adjustment one way or the other, depending on how much interest continues to be in the All-Star game. I think with the tributes that were paid and just kind of the feeling surrounding the All-Star game tonight, a lot of people were invested. Now, come next year, if obviously the feelings aren't as strong and that fourth quarter takes as long as it seemed to have taken tonight, then you might see an adjustment the year after. Maybe they reduce it down to a 20-point fourth quarter. Yeah, I think there's going to be a little adjustment, but I think next year you're probably right. It's going to stay at 24, but after that, we'll see.
And even if they did move it away from 24, what do we think is a fair number? What, 30? Like kind of an average point total for a quarter? Or do we think that they maybe move it to another symbolic number? I don't have any other symbolic numbers in my mind.
If you're going symbolic numbers, it's almost a negligible difference, but 21. That's what this game essentially is a pickup game, except it involves the best basketball players in the world. But essentially, it's a pickup game, so why not give it some pickup game flavor?
That's a hell of a point.
We're going to 21, win by two.
That would be, thank you. That bringing you on the pod was the best decision I ever made.
Maybe
not the best.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a couple that I would put above that. But,
I went to Wendy's earlier for lunch. That was a pretty good decision.
I mean, this one's definitely top five.
Okay, all right. We got to, we can't let the ego go to his head too much. All right, but so we talked about that, Obviously, you just mentioned it with this new, potentially, if they change the number to 21, a bit more icon, obviously an iconic number in and of itself. But one of the other issues that we had with this finish to this game was for all the suspense and everything leading up to the end, to end it on a free throw.
Oh, yeah, that's another rule. No more ending these games on free throws, because I absolutely hated that.
So one of the suggestions that I immediately saw on Twitter, like right after the game, was just, you know, every foul in the, you know, whenever the whichever team gets within, what, five points or 7 points of the target score at the end of the game, every foul just becomes an out of bounds play. Or something to that effect, to where, because you, again, it was so anticlimactic to see Anthony Davis walk up to the free throw line. It was almost really awesome because he bricked the first free throw so poorly that I thought we were going to get a few more minutes of action.
He claimed he did it on purpose. I'm not buying it. I see you, Anthony Davis. You can't hit pressure free throws, but it's fun.
Yeah, I remember he said it earlier. He is a Pelicans fan, and so he has some, you know, very complicated emotions directed towards Anthony Davis. Maybe it's not complicated.
They're not complicated.
Yeah. Here we go.
No, I'm not going to expound. Okay. I'm not going to expound on the Locked On Rockets podcast. Just know that Anthony Davis and LeBron are dead to me.
All right, we need to get you with Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, and you know, you can maybe really express some frustration over there about how that whole situation went down. But yeah, so I love the 21 idea. Honestly, I think that's great. Win by 2, 21 in the final quarter. That'd be great if they ever move away from the 24. But
absolutely.
But overall, I mean, it was a success. I think this All-Star Weekend was a success.
I think for this game itself, it definitely brought a level of intrigue that we haven't seen in, I would say, at least a decade. Maybe closer to 2 decades. But it definitely brought a new feel, and we had a level of intensity that we haven't seen in a long time. We saw, like I mentioned earlier, you know, we saw Chris Paul, AD, LeBron, Harden, Giannis, Kawhi.
Embiid.
They were getting on these refs, man.
They were in an all-star game.
This really felt like an NBA Finals game that came down to the wire.
Shout out to Chris Paul, though, who took a transition foul to stop a transition play. What was it, in like the second quarter, which is the most Chris Paul thing to have ever happened in an All-Star game, where the intensity hadn't even ramped up yet, and it was just Chris Paul being Chris Paul.
Hey, he took that, and how many did Team LeBron win by? 2 points. Guess what they would have scored on that fast break?
That's true.
Probably 2 points.
That's true. Big if true is right there. So
Chris Paul MVP.
Chris, and so, and then Kawhi Leonard did win the inaugural Kobe Bryant All-Star Game MVP award.
Yep.
So he'll be the first recipient of that. And he said immediately after the game, you know, that it means a lot to him, you know, wants to thank Kobe for everything that, you know, he did for him. And, you know, that this game was for him. And Kawhi had a hell of a game. He did a lot of his damage early, but he hit, what was it? Where's Kawhi? He hit eight three-pointers?
Yep. 8 of 14 from three, finished with 30 points. And the man provided another 7 rebounds and 4 dimes.
And he was what? I think Paul George's record was 9 3-pointers.
Yep, he
in
came
an All-Star
up
game.
One shy of PG's record
of
for
tying
3 points.
You know, PG was. I don't know if PG was there that night. I didn't see him in the crowd at any point during like the, you know, the crowd reactions to things. So I'm just gonna say PG was probably at home, like sitting on his sofa rehabbing whatever the most recent injury he got, because I know he got hurt again doing something. And probably just shaking, like, no, don't take my record. You know, he's sitting there thinking, I missed the All-Star game. Just don't take my record, man. New teammate and everything. That'd be cold-blooded.
You know, I think if there were betting odds before this game on who had the best potential to break PG's 3-point All-Star game record, I don't think Kawhi would have been anywhere near the top of that list.
None of the money would have been on Kawhi, which is, it's crazy. I don't have his 3-point percentage up in front of me right now, but I'd assume it's pretty solid, you know, but you just don't think 3-point shooter or lethal 3-point shooter when you think Kawhi, because he does so much of his damage, you know, right at the rim and from that mid range, which has been kind of his money. So
real quick, at what point does Kawhi change his slogan to 3-point man gets paid?
After this one? he's already on the phone with his publicist, yeah, with his agent, and he's like, we got to get this switched.
We're getting a new slogan going. You had something you wanted to say.
And the thought has now escaped me. That's
I mean, it happens.
That's kind of how podcasting works. I mean,
it happens, man.
So, but I'm trying. Oh, yeah. We had one more thing is it was suggested somewhere about as far as, you know, every year there's NBA players who think they get snubbed out of the All-Star selections. And in fact, The Ringer did like a Twitter post with a bunch of different suggestions for changes that you would want to see in All-Star Weekend. A lot of them suggested, you know, doing a 1v1 or a 3v3 tournament, or like, you know, playing 21, or just, you know, a lot of great suggestions. And the one that I chimed in with, which I can't take original credit for, I saw it somewhere else, was if a player feels like they were snubbed out of the All-Star team, like Devin Booker felt like he was until Dame Dolla could not play because of his groin injury, then you can call out another player and then you get to play them in a 1v1 style matchup, play to 21, whatever you want to do, or play to 11, you know, twos and ones, however you want to do it. But you set up essentially player one calls out player two, you play on Friday night, and then whoever wins gets to actually take that spot in the All-Star game. What do you think about that?
I think there's one stipulation that I need to add.
Okay.
If you are the player who feels like you got snubbed and you call out another player, you guys play one-on-one. If you lose, you are never allowed to call out another player again.
I like it. It's harsh, but I like it.
That being said, Bradley Beal, Kyle Lowry to 21.
Oh, Bradley Beal's taking it. Bradley Beal's in the All-Star game all of a sudden.
That's how you know Bradley Beal got snubbed.
He did get snubbed. I would agree. I think he got snubbed. And on top of that, you could also add some other things. You could run with the whole, you know, the charity element that the NBA likes to go with. Maybe the person who calls out, not only do you not get another call out, you got to donate money to charity.
I think that's fair. Add
what, $50,000? I mean, you know, the actual number that we put on it is not important. The NBA can figure that out down the line. But I think it's an interesting element because it allows for maybe some of those old school rivalries to flare up. You know, maybe guys who feel like, hey, you know, that guy shouldn't have made it. You know, you got who's somebody else that felt like they got snubbed? It was Booker, Beal, and there was Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Felt like he got snubbed. Yeah. So could you imagine a 1v1 tournament between like Towns and like Nikola Jokic? That'd be kind of interesting to watch. Two big men kind of duking it out. Like, I mean,
they'd be tired by point four.
Yeah. I don't know. They, you know, Jokic isn't having to run a full court. They'd play half court.
I do definitely. Anything that we can do to get some true rivalries back in the game would be a welcome sight for me. A year ago, Ingram punches James Harden in the face, and tonight they're holding hands during the moment of silence for Kobe. So we don't have any real beefs right now.
To be fair, he threw that punch like a wet paper towel. I mean, just he came flying it out of nowhere and didn't connect with anything.
I'm not going to defend him because at the time he wasn't on the Pelicans, so I'm not worried about that. On to the next one.
All right. Well, as we are kind of wrapping things up here at Locked On Rockets, Chris, you want to go ahead and plug yourself, your social media, where we can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me do this one more time. If you want to read any of my mediocre tweets, you can find me on Twitter at ChrisMCGMedia. I like to interact with Mr. JT Gatlin here and stir the pot a little bit. So if you're looking for some debate, I'd love to have you.
All right. And past that, as always, thank you all so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back here again very, very soon, right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.